Your calls on a Tell the Truth Monday coming up at 4:30. Michael Phillips making his return to the show at 5 o'clock. It's Mondays with Michael. It's football season. I literally, Anthony, texted Michael earlier and was like, you free at 5? And he goes, must be football season. And I was like, yes, sir, it is. Yes, sir, it is. 5:30, we will go around the NFL. We'll take a look at some of the other games and some of the big storylines that happened over the weekend. Some games we'll blow past, but some we'll spend a little more time on. You're looking at you, Shador Sanders in Cleveland. And then we will hit a pick six at 6 as well. And I think, Anthony, 6:30, take a man is probably on deck. A review of the defensive performance, I think, is what we're going to do at 6:30. But we continue now with our first and 10. First three were that sloppy is bad, but we're not going to freak out about it. The question of whether the starters should have played more is a valid one, although I come down on no. And yeah, special teams kind of fits in that bucket as well of this was not good, but it's important to point out who was missing, especially when such a small number of plays have such a big impact on how we feel about it. Continuing on in our pick or our first and 10.
Number four,
the QB3 battle. There is no doubt that Josh Johnson outplayed Sam Hartman, but I do think it's worth pointing out that Sam Hartman did not play as poorly as it felt like on Friday night. Like, Chris Moore has two drops, one of which is a really bad drop on a third and long that is a huge conversion if they get it and probably changes the trajectory of the whole game because it gets Hartman in an early rhythm. They get a chance to get a second set of downs and like develop something that could work on offense and get your backs more care. Like, it's just you go three and out when you could have had something going there. He's got an explosive play that he drops later. KJ Osborne drops a touchdown that I think should have been a catch. The interception's not good, but it's made a definitive easy pick without even being challenged by the fact that Michael Gallup slips. So all in all, like the Ben Sinnott drop, that is not a great ball, but like, is that on Sinnott for stopping down the route when he should have kept running? Like, this is preseason football. You got a bunch of guys that haven't played a lot of football and certainly haven't played a lot of football together going out there and trying their best against a defense, by the way, that was one, more talented because they actually played starters, and two, they did a little game planning. So it was a tough sled for Sam Hartman. And again, the accuracy could have been better. The decision-making could have been better. It's not like he was awesome, but he wasn't as tragic, I feel like, as it felt as the score ballooned and the mistakes added up and the kind of game flow happened the way it did on Friday night. That said, I do think right now with his veteran savvy and just know how to play professional football, Josh Johnson probably is QB3. And if I still don't think they're going to keep three, but if they do, I tend to think Johnson, like Driscoll last year, will be the guy. And in some ways, the bad on paper performance for Hartman probably helps him stay on the practice squad here. Versus if he goes out and lights it up and all of a sudden it's like, oh, crap, we need to either keep him or risk someone else signing him to a deal to be their QB3 elsewhere in the league. That leads us directly to number five.
Number five.
The wide receivers. Oh, man. If I had to put money down right now, Anthony, on a wide receiver 6, I tend to think I put my money on other. Like, all the dudes that are here right now. So, like, the 5 that are going to make it because they're recent draft picks or, like, really good veterans are Terry, Noah, Debo, Luke, Jalen Lane. Those 5 are almost certainly making the roster. I'd put 4 of them at 100% and Luke at, like, 98, 99%, right? Noah Brown was a Houston Texan a year ago. Like, there are going to be dudes that are cut around the league that I think are going to have a better chance of making it than Chris Moore, who can't seem to catch the ball since the calendar turned to August. Then Jacoby Jones, who's an undrafted free agent. Then, I mean, Ja'Cory Brooks had a little bit of pop. Tay Martin had a nice couple of catches. Like, I just think that there's probably other dudes that get cut elsewhere that wind up on top of those guys on the depth chart. Strawn, a.k.a. the artist formerly known as Strachan until we all learned how to pronounce his name. Sorry about that, Michael Strawn. Big ol' 84, like, he's got a drop. Like, it just, none of them are consistent enough. None of them are good enough. And yet, DQ decided we're not going to bring in any more receivers. Here is Quinn earlier today.
Yeah, it's definitely the first one. But one thing like I said the other day with Adam and his staff, like we're always going to compete and keep digging in to find if there's a fit that's good for us. We're going to look into it. But we do like, chances and things we're seeing, but you do have to push it and allow that space to happen, Ben. So we want to continue to do that.
Which I'm fine with for now. Like, there's going to be 1,000 players that get cut in a couple weeks. Also, a lot of these guys had really good springs. Like, that's the thing with Chris Moore that's so frustrating is, like, that dude was awesome in the spring. And then, like, he's open. He's got opportunities. His hands are on the ball. He's got to catch it. Like, the whole receiving part of wide receiver. And so, if he can turn that around in the next 2 weeks, like, he could potentially make this roster. But I tend to think that probably wide receiver six, if they keep a wide receiver six, is coming from somewhere else.
Number six.
As for the linebacker position, they did do something here. The linebacker play was really not very good the other night. And Dominique Hampton, it was really inconsistent. For Kane Medrano, Hampton was pretty consistently not good, which is why they ultimately released him, which in a way was the nice thing to do, because now Dominique Hampton, instead of getting released in a couple of weeks, as he's one of 1,000 players who get cut, he has a chance to go sign on somewhere else, and maybe someone else sees him as a safety. They try to convert him back, and he winds up carving out a career as a backup safety and special teams guy, or maybe even he starts. But the vision that they had for him here to play that kind of dime linebacker, coverage linebacker type of role as a converted safety, very clearly, they see Kane Medrano as that guy, and I just think they made the determination that they don't need both of them, and that if instead of waiting to see... Like, they don't even want Ham. Like, and if something happens to Medrano, it's not like they think Hampton's a good insurance policy. So you just move on and do it now, which is what Dan Quinn said earlier today.
Yes, and it is. It's a hard part of it. And but yeah, we did make that move today. And when you go through in it, we were talking about, it's comprehensive of details to go. And sometimes you take it as far as you can, try to give as much support to all the guys as we can. But if it's not going to fit, we'd rather, give him a chance to go see if he can do his thing somewhere else. We got high regard for Dom. We absolutely loved working with him. But if it wasn't going to fit for us, then we want to certainly go give him a chance to go do that. And sometimes it's a little easier now than later.
So there you go. Dominique Hampton released. I think that the other thing that I really wish we had, like, Medrano played up and down, but, like, that's what you expect for a guy who is a sixth round pick in his first ever quasi NFL football game. But he showed flashes, like the great David Aldridge line. Show me why you drafted. Show me why I drafted you. Kane Medrano did that. I really wish Jordan McGee had been there, but I like the signing of Duke Riley. Logan made a great point on Take Command today where he said, sometimes at the back end of rooms, you have guys that don't really know how to work or don't know what they don't know. And if you're like a guy like Bobby Wagner, like, you've been a starter your whole career, you don't know what it's like and necessarily how to mentor some of the specifics of a linebacker three. And like, Logan was always that guy at the end. And he was like, sometimes you need someone to tell you, like, hey, man, no one's going to teach you this or no one's going to spend the time with you on this. You need to do it on your own if you want to survive in this league and get to the point where you're the starter and they help you with that thing. And so getting a guy like Duke Riley in, who's a good special teams player historically and has been a backup, might actually be Bobby's still a great mentor. Don't get it twisted. But like, he sets a good example of what it's like to be a backup in the league in a room that I think needs that in a way that's very different than what the way Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu are going to go about their business.
Number seven.
Number seven in our first and 10. Jerzon Newton, get through some of these quickly. Jerzon Newton, applause, way to make a play. Get the sack fumble, love that. You want to see those guys show up. I would say him, Trey Amos as well. Guys who are actually going to play starter rotational type minutes. You want to see them show up, and they did that. So good job to Newton and to Amos, two of the second round picks of the last 2 years.
Number eight.
The much hyped rookie, Jacory Kroski Merritt. Man. He showed the things that we were hoping to see. Then he was hurt. But he the way I would describe his running style, Anthony, he's squirmy. Like, he just gets and his body goes sideways and then he's still dancing. He's like doing the karaoke step and you're like, how are you doing that on NFL field? Now, if he does that against starters, he might die. So there needs to be a little bit of tightening up, but you also don't want to take away that fluidity that he has. And like that first run that should have been a minus five that he turns into a 0 yard gain, that's a beautiful run. That's a heck of a job. And so he finished run strong. Like, there's something there for him as a runner. He's going to have to round out his game, and I think that's going to prevent him from being like taking Brian Robinson's job this year, to be just like straightforward about it. But if he can round out his game in the long term, like, that's a starting NFL running back for sure.
Yeah, and he also had the one play where, you know, he ran through contact, bounced off the guy, and we saw it in training. I mean, well, we saw it in camp. And, you know, there's questions about, you know, guys letting up, whether or not, you know, he would break that tackle. Oh, he showed us he can.
He sure did. He broke that tackle. By the way,
number nine.
Offensive line did a decent enough job, I guess, for him. They got a little worse as the game went. Like, Chris Rodriguez didn't get a whole lot of good looks. And some of that was also quarterback, like RPO, that you should have thrown it and you handed it off. And it just, cool, you handed it off into an unblocked defender because you should have thrown the bubble. But Laremy Tunsil did not participate today in the walkthrough. So, Dan Quinn, what's going on with all these injuries along the offensive line?
There's concern. I like the group, though, John, and it starts with communication. What does the guard and tackle say on a combination block? What is the center and the guard? What's the tight end? You know, how is that going? That part's just a regular standard. Boom, this is how we do it. What you're missing on when you're not all the way together, sometimes it's the nonverbal cues that you're just, you know, when you're working side by side with somebody, we've all been there, you just kind of step into a rhythm together. So you have to be really intentional about those communications. They spend, obviously, the meeting times together, even when they're injured. But being in the moment when it happens really quickly, that's a big deal. And we'll continue to work hard to find our spaces to do it. It does happen a lot, you know, we're not, you know, very often. I don't know many through the league, you guys would know, throughout a whole season, how many times is, you know, one line played the whole time? Not that often, especially as the, you know, extended games. So going through ones like now and today, and where different people are in and different voices, I don't mind it. I'd welcome it because it allows different chances. And you do want to find out who can shine in those spots, John, because they may not be a starter and they know that, but I can also show I can be a backup with limited reps with that person and still produce at a high level. So there's an opportunity, but you do have to go take it.
There is Dan Quinn on his O-line. And then quickly,
number 10.
Last but not least, I expect to see the starters for a little bit in the next one. And I'm very curious to see how they come out. A guy like Frankie Louvu, like, what kind of intensity do you bring? That is, I think, a huge telltale sign for Monday night. Like, it's Monday night. ESPN's there. You have all the hullabaloo. It's under the lights. It's your only home preseason game. Your starters are probably going to play. The building's going to have some juice, especially for a preseason game. How do you look? That is, I think, the measure of the next week for Dan Quinn. When we get back, what do you think, though? You saw the game on Friday. You've heard the news over the last couple of days. 301-230-0980 is the number. 301-230-0980. That is where you call on a Tell the Truth Monday with your Commander's thoughts next.